and welcome to another episode of Quest Youth Radio. We are formerly and better known as Quest Community Vibration. You know, I want to send out a message of concern. We are living through some dire straits right now, and you know I'm referring to the pandemic. And so I just want to say to each and every one of you who are listening this evening or whenever you pick up the podcast that please take the time to manufacture patience and kindness, and please try to muster up a little extra love for your brother and your sister, okay? And I just need to say that before we begin our show, because I see that it is so very much needed and important, okay? That being said, I'd like to begin our program by talking about one of our segments. And our segment that I'm going to talk about right now is our Quest Moment. You see, our Quest Moment and this whole program pretty much put together out of struggle from the 60s. And we have managed, even during this pandemic, to stay relevant and on point to the best of our ability to continue to train young people and send them off to become productive citizens in our society. No, everyone does not go into broadcasting, but everyone does come out getting it. And what is the it? That you can become a productive member of society. A cornucopia of physics, that where there are vibrations, there must be a medium. And all vibrations possess a wave nature. You see, in our community, our art is in fact and in spirit the medium to which the waves travel. Where there is no medium, there are no vibrations. Now, tonight, we are attempting once again not only to make vibrations, but to make waves. Make waves so that you can have a critical thought process and so that you're not sitting back just taking in whatever you hear. Lyrics like poetry have a message, and history like a diamond shines clear to the truth. Words have meanings that can comprehend definitions. News creates a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now pull back the curtain and see the real contribution, and you will find, yes, our Quest Moment, where we attempt to make waves. Thank you again for joining us this evening to hear a different perspective of our diaspora. Without any further ado, I would like to bring on our student host. Good evening, Walter Pierce.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations, and this is Quest Youth Radio. To start off the show, I would like to talk about a lady whose accomplishment is being the first African-American woman to start a women's group strictly for Black women in America, and the name of this woman is Frances Ellen Watkins Harper. Now, see, born in Washington, Maryland on September 24th, 1825, Frances Ellen Walker Harper's Collaborators Club's moniker was nothing short of incredible. Frances Ellen Walker attended Watkins Academy for Negro Youth, a school founded by her uncle, until the age of 13. After grade school, Watkins was employed by a white family that owned a bookstore as a nursemaid and seamstress. With a thirst for learning, Watkins continued learning through many books that surrounded her during her years of employment. By the age of 21, Watkins wrote her first poetry volume titled Forest Leaves. At age 26, Watkins became the first woman instructor at Union Seminary in Columbus, Ohio. Due to the stringent black codes in Maryland, as a free black woman, Watkins was unable to return home. Alternatively, she moved into a home of William and Latifah Steele in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where she devoted her energies to the anti-slavery movement. It was during her time in Philadelphia that Watkins began writing for black periodicals, such as The Liberator and the Frederick Douglass Papers. By 1854, Watkins has written her second volume of poems titled Poems on Miscellaneous Subjects, with an introduction by the infamous William Lloyd Garrison. The next 8 years of Watkins' life was spent touring the U.S. and Canada, speaking against the ills of this country's peculiar institution, slavery. However, her activism did not end there. Watkins was an advocate for women's rights, universal suffrage, temperance, anti-lynching, and much more. A short story titled The Two Officers was published in the Anglo-African magazine in 1859, making F.E.W. the first black woman to publish a short story. Married in 1860, F.E.W. Harper devoted her life to her family until her husband's death 4 years later. After the death of her husband, Harper moved back to Philadelphia and continued her career as a lecturer. Harper would later become a prominent member in the Women's Temperance Christian Union, WTCU, where she held the title of National Superintendent of Work Among Colored People. She would also help form the American Woman Suffrage Association. Despite both groups' unwillingness to acknowledge the plight of black people, Harper consistently advocated for acknowledgement and swift action to rectify the problem which plagued black Americans. In 1896, F.E.W. Harper, along with 72 other delegates, would form the National Association of Colored Women, NACW. During her first biennial convention, Harper was elected to the position of National Third Vice President. She would serve in several different capacities within the organization during her lifetime. Because of her many achievements and strives for black people, during the biennial convention of 1900, Harper was presented with lifetime membership. Frances Ellen Watkins Harper passed away on February 22nd, 1911. However, her legacy lives on today. And that concludes this biography on Frances Ellen Watkins Harper. And I already know the question, you know, why did I do this? And, you know, I was presented with this lady, through a couple of people who are a part of this program. And, you know, just one interesting thing is she was one of the first African-American women to start an African-American women's group. And, you know, what we preach on this show is always progress and perseverance, always making sure that our people in this world continues to persevere throughout all the challenges that it has faced in our country and in our history. That's exactly what we preach on the show. And F.E.W. or Frances Ellen Watkins was an advocate for that by being a part of these many women groups that were specifically for the struggles that black women went through in America. So I don't know if she's on the line. Valerie Pierce, you know, she's one of the people who is a part of this program. And if she's on the line, if she could just talk a little bit about the program and what's it about, that would be greatly appreciated.
Come on, Val. We know you're there.
Good evening.
And it's a wonderful organization, and the organization is, you know, structured to uplift women. And as we go through and work in the organization, we're going to celebrate the 73 women that started the National Colored Women's Club. And so, you know, as well as mentor youth and, you know, all kinds of exciting things like that. But, you know, I didn't expect to say anything, so I'm kind of thrown off. But I'm glad that, you know, he did speak about it. And when you get a chance, please, please, you know, look up the information about the Colored Women's Club so you can see all of the good work that they have done for, you know, for all these many, many, many years. Thank you.
Thank you. And, you know, because you weren't prepared, I'm not going to jump in and ask you any more questions. But welcome to my world where our student host, Walter Pierce, might ask you to join in at any given moment. Unexpectedly.
I see.
Walter, if you please may continue.
Oh, yes, I'll continue. And we'll go straight into our definition of today. Of course, we have to give a definition which, you know, describes our person for today. And see, this segment provides the listener with words and their meaning so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whoever controls our definition controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And see, the definition I have chosen for today is activism. And as mentioned in the biography, I mentioned a couple of times how she is a person who is considered who is an activist. There you go. Who is an activist who participates in a lot of these different movements and programs which helps put in laws or certain social laws that help progress our society. And that was one of the main goals of our person for today with the programs and the movement she has been a part of. She is clearly a person who is an activist and wanting better for the country that she has lived in, which is America. And the definition, again, of activism is the policy or action of using vigorous campaigning to bring about political or social change. And, you know, on this show, what we do, we talk a lot about a lot of different activists. And usually anybody really, if you go out and you preach about a change socially or economically or politically that you feel that can help better our people or better your people, you know, doing that can be considered activism, and you could be considered an activist in my eyes. I don't know if you, Mr. Bay, have a different interpretation of activist, but we could all agree that a person who, you know, goes out and fights, and person who goes out and protests and goes along with people fighting for a certain cause that helps improve society, wouldn't you consider that to be an activist?
Yes, I would. And we're very fortunate to live in this particular area where we actually have had the opportunity to see activism, and especially during this present time. You yourself active when you actually participated in a couple of marches, you know. So as basic as seeing an issue and wanting to bring that particular issue to light, and you volunteering yourself during a pandemic to get out safely, of course, but to set foot, you know, in public and to, you know, march and raise heck for your cause speaks volumes about yourself, you know, and your thinking and what you think is important. So what I'm saying is each and every one of us has the ability to be an activist if we choose to. And there are different ways that we can, attack it by becoming an activist. You don't always have to get out and march. And a lot of times, historically, our activists who've actually set out to make change have been ridiculed and criticized from their side and the other side and from all sides. But when you have a feeling that you want to present something and you agree to disagree and you want to put your point out there and bring it to the surface, then, hey, I'd say you are an activist. And, you know, you kind of learn how to do it, right? And I'm kind of trying to school you and educate you, you know, at the same time, which is the same thing, right? And I hope I made an attempt to kind of, I don't think it was a question, but kind of threw it out there. So now I'm throwing it back. Please continue.
No, that was great. I like exactly what you said because, I think a lot of people today, they probably believe somebody who's an activist has to be somebody somebody on the levels of people like Martin Luther King type level or Rosa Parks type level, people who are very famous in the media and people are talked about a lot. But you don't know, like, if you're fighting for a change in the cause for your people, that's something that can be considered, you're considered an activist as well. You're going out and you're helping make a change because every voice matters. And there are strength in numbers, which a lot of people say.
Right.
So the more people you have along with your agenda is how much your point is going to get pushed across. And that
right.
is clearly, oh, go ahead.
No, I just was going to say, these are nameless heroes. You know, I mean, when we look at history, when I look at history and I think of all of the, when I think about the marches where the high school students were marching and demonstrating and they set dogs out and fire hoses. And I remember as a child seeing the reel being played to us while we were in school so that we can actually see what was going on. Because, you know, I kind of lived through that period of time before you were born. But, you know, there are a lot of people. We don't even know their names. These are unsung heroes. So, I think a lot of times people see an activist as an icon. But I want to say right here and right now that the true icons are the nameless volunteers who saw a need and put themselves out there to sacrifice their bodies for a belief that they had for change. And I throw it back to you.
Exactly. And yeah, just to reiterate one last time again, strength in numbers again. There's a lot of the reason a lot of these movements and a lot of these causes are so known today is because of the amount of people and the amount of unknown people who's a part of these behind the scenes and the people actually out there doing the work who are not always talked about. Because there's a lot of them. Everybody's not, of course, going to be mentioned and well known. There's only going to be the select few but we all, at the end of the day, what we have to realize is if it wasn't for those people as you said, unsung heroes, if it wasn't for them, these movements and these laws would not be put in place that help benefit us and benefit our communities. And this conversation really just helped me go right into my next segment. And this next segment that I'll be talking about, the topic of it is privilege. And before you chime in as well, this is something we've talked about in our classes and in school, is privilege. And the real definition of privilege and how people get that word confused, like they believe privilege is having, like having some, always something physical. It's something that, for example, oh, you have more money than me, you're privileged. A lot of people get the word confused and don't know the exact meaning of it and what privilege interprets in actual society. And what privilege is, believe it or not, we all have a privilege. And our privilege is something that somebody else or one of your friends or one of people you probably see every day, they probably do not have. And let me give an example. Again, the biggest example of privilege that people talk about, of course, is white privilege and the things that white people in our today's society do not have to deal with or experience that minorities of this country have to deal with, the different types of stereotypes, the involvement with police, jobs. Are we going to get this job? Are we going to get discriminated because of our ethnicity? What we all could really agree is somebody who is white really doesn't have to deal with those type of things that a lot of minorities deal with in society. That is something that could be a privilege. Another one that could be considered a privilege for people is again, for women. Men in this society, of course, is seen as more dominant gender, and it'll be easier for them, or they get easier for them to get certain jobs. And us as men don't have to worry about, oh, are we not going to get this job because of our gender, or are they declining us because we are men? Men don't have to really worry about that. Certain things that are put in place and laws that discriminate against women in society that men enforce and probably do not understand. Men really don't worry about that. And another simple example, and this is an example that has been brought up to me, and I've never even thought about it, and this is a privilege that I have, and it's right-handed, left-hand. Right-handed people are more common in society, as we know. And what I've never thought about is scissors is the biggest example. A lot of scissors are not made for left-handed people, and they're made mostly for right-handed people, which is the more common type of people in society, right-handed. And that's a privilege that I could say that I have that I've never noticed. And when you probably think about it, Mr. Bay, you probably didn't even know or didn't realize this privilege that you have. I don't know. I think you're right-handed. But a left-handed person can't really use those scissors properly because they're left-handed. And most of the scissors are created for right-handed people. So left-handed people, they do have their own scissors, but it's not really marketed because of the majority. And before you probably want to chime, I want to read something from a little book called Power, Privilege, Oppression, and Difference. And in this chapter, it's a little small paragraph, small couple sentences I want to read before I talk about this point. And it says, talking openly about power and privilege isn't easy, which is why people rarely do. The reason for this seems to be a fear of anything that might make dominant groups uncomfortable or pit groups against each other, even though groups are already pitted against one another by the structures of privilege that organize society as a whole. The fear keeps us from looking at what's going on and makes it impossible to do anything about the reality that lies deeper down. And that's why you see people like white people in the society who don't want to acknowledge their privilege or says it doesn't exist because or don't want to talk about it because it makes them uncomfortable and they don't see it. That's the biggest thing with privilege. You don't really see it. And the person who has this privilege doesn't really notice it. So that's why they usually decline it. So again, before I want you to also say what you think about this. Think about it like this. I have a privilege of that I've learned of being right-handed and the different privileges that come with being right-handed that I didn't know of. And a lot of people have a certain privilege that just goes unnoticed. And sometimes, you know, some of these privileges won't be really your fault or it could be, but sometimes it's not because you're not taught of it or you just do not realize it because it's just something that happens in society and goes on day by day. And you want to say anything regarding that, Mr. Bay?
Absolutely. You know I always have something to say. First, I'd like to insert my humor, if you don't mind, please.
Go ahead.
I'm left-handed. And so because I'm left-handed, I have the privilege of being smarter than most right-handed people. Okay, so that might sound ridiculous, and it is my humor. So I'm taking that, I said it, and I'm sticking with it. Okay, so I am right-handed, but you hit it on the head. Privilege is invisible. Okay, I did take the time out to actually look into it. And what's very interesting is, and I need to say this right off before I even go down this road, okay? Because myself personally, I'm sick of the identification of human beings being categorized and classified as black and white, okay? There is no such thing as black and white. There's only one race, and it's the human race. That being said, water rises to its own level, and some people only seek to know what they know. So please bear with us as we try to raise your water level a little higher. You're human. It's not just black and white. But for people of another ethnicity who might be fair skinned, Jane Elliott pointed it out, you know, who says, well, I don't see skin color. I just see people. But then in society, we see people because of their skin color, their skin tone, right, being treated a different way, being treated exceptionally well. You know, I read an article that talked about a brother, and he had his wife, okay, just for sake of conversation, his mother was black, his father was white, and he was fairer skin. And he remembered being in elementary school and being in the same classroom as his cousin. And he remembered being treated differently than his cousin who sat right next to him. Right? When he did his report, he got out. And when his cousin did her report, they said, well, you must have copied off of him. Right? And he remembered being in the drugstore and being treated really nice. And then his mother came out of the aisle and what strange looks that he got. I read another article as it pertained to privilege, and it says something about, is there white privilege for poor people? Poor white people? I don't think so. Oh, well, it's invisible. How could you see? You take it for granted. Well, you know what? In order for us to move as a people past these, I'll call it level of ignorances, right, it's going to take everyone to wake up and see that, you know, it's a privilege to be alive. It's a privilege to be a human being. And, you know, it won't end racism. Let's talk about it, right? Just it won't end until those who see themselves as up and address it. What do you think about that, Walter? I tried my best there.
I agree with you with some points. I'm talking about, you know, there's no such thing because race was made up. And it is true, race is something that's been made up by society. It's nothing that we're born with. Or that just was in society. It was something that was made up. And, you know, when you go towards the end, you talk about, you compare that to, does a poor white man have white privilege? And what people again get confused with that is it's not privilege is not always how much money you have. That's not what we're talking about. Because there is a lot of successful minorities who have a lot of money. So that's not the thing we're talking about. We're talking about privilege dealing with the different privilege, like dealing with how you are viewed in society, not worried about your money, but the different types of opportunities and things that happen in society that you do not have to worry about or that happen. And even though you might see this poor white man, but this poor white man still is able to obtain, still doesn't have to worry about the same things that other minorities have to worry about, as I stated earlier. That's what we're trying to
right.
discuss. We're not talking about exactly money-wise, but we're talking about
right.
a privilege that they have.
Right. He can walk in. He can walk into a bank and probably get a loan quicker than you. They talked about
mm-hmm.
names one time. They did a study as far as ethnicity and the different types of names. And how if your name sounded if your name sounded white, you got the privilege. As one of the comedians said, you got the proper connection for the right connection. complexion for the right connection. Right? And you know, I have to make, you know, put the humor in and make light of it. Because if you dwell on it too much, you know, I guess it could drive you insane. But I would like to think that we're moving towards a new world. Forward-thinking people see that change is needed in particular areas, and people just need to wake up. You know, I just put it like that. And so with that being said, do you have any more segments for us today?
You know, it is 7 o'clock. It's been 30 minutes. I want to continue this conversation going on our show on Saturday. And I want to continue the talk of these things we mentioned today with more people that we're going to have available to us on Saturday. So, if you have any last words before I close the show.
Okay. I want to thank everybody for joining us for our different perspective. We may not have answered all the questions that we brought up, but we made an attempt because we do not have all the answers. But, you know, at the beginning of the show, I don't know if you heard this or not, Walter, but people need to learn how to become critical thinkers. You know, you can't just post stuff on social media and think that that's the end all and be all. You can't just watch the news and say, oh, well, that's the news. They're all messed up. Well, you know what? When do you open up a book? When do you do some reading? When do you do some research? When do you grow up to become a critical thinker on your own two feet? Okay? And I want to thank you for tuning in to Quest Community Vibrations. Walter, please close the show.
You know,
do we Let me 6778. Are you there? Would you like to chime in and say, give a shout out real fast?
As always, great show, great commentary. Keep up the good work, guys.
Thank you. Val, we know you're still there. If you're there, give us a shout out.
Okay, we have less than 13 days now before our November 3rd election. Please get your mail-in ballots in.
Okay, and we'll go in more detail on Saturday about that. And Walker, close it out.
Well, you know, again, as I said, we're going to continue this talk on our show, which airs Saturday, 8 a.m. You know, we have the whole squad with us. We got Mr. Harris and Ms. Tanisha with us. So we got even more people to give a better perspective. And I want to thank everybody for listening to this Wednesday's edition of Quest Community Vibrations. Quest Youth Radio is the best,
the best radio.
Radio.
Thank you. Great job, Walter.